Isaac Firmino! Little flash, Liverpool are true to the good.
A little bit of EPL action from the weekend. Liverpool getting their second one there yesterday against Chelsea, and it was good enough to defeat Chelsea 2-1 in the end. Russell Milton is our English Premier League correspondent. He's back with us on The Breakfast Club. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning, Half. Hope you're well.
I'm very well, thank you, sir. Nice to have you with us. That was a pretty important goal there for Liverpool against Chelsea. A good result for Firmino. 30 minutes in, that was to go 2-0 up. They ended up conceding one a little bit later on, but they'd be a wrap with that victory, wouldn't they?
They will. It wasn't a great performance, actually, from Liverpool. So, you know, it shows the signs of a good team. They're not, you know, didn't play well and, you know, come through winners. It was the VAR controversy again. Liverpool 1-0 up. And then Chelsea scored what looked like a good goal. Was ruled out for VAR. I think Mason Mount's big toe was offside, which is getting ridiculous now. And literally 2 minutes later, Liverpool went down and scored. So, you know, they switched off a bit, Chelsea, but they were really good value, Frank Lampard's team, and I think Liverpool were really hanging on second half, and you know, they could have quite easily snatched a second goal. Chelsea, they were really good, and they were applauded off the ground actually at the end. So, you know, it shows that signs are looking quite good for Chelsea. They've got a young team; they're going to be up and down, but Liverpool just keep rolling on. That's only one defeat in 45 now for Jurgen Klopp. Quite amazing, really, how they've, you know, that momentum they're on, 15 wins in a row.
Yeah.
You know, and people say, you know, the Premier League is a really tough competition, but they're making it look easy at the minute.
Well, they started the year beautifully, as you say, 6-6 to kick off the season, and a good goal difference as well, plus 12, I think, in the goal differential for Liverpool. Just on the VAR, we're having some issues over here with our score review system in the Aussie rules community. What's the conversation like over there? How frustrated is it? Was it, as you say before, the big toe might have been across the line, but wasn't we brought in for howlers as opposed to little titchy bits?
It was, yeah. It was, you know, it was clear and obvious. It's really dividing opinion over here. It was brought in for clear and obvious, you know, decisions. Yeah, and, you know, the system isn't finely tuned enough, that's the word that's coming out, to be able to say when the ball's actually left someone's toe for the... some of the minute decisions have been absolutely unbelievable. And, you know, they're deciding big games and, you know, they're really going in the way of defenders at the minute, whereas you want to see good attacking football, more goals. And, you know, it's people don't know whether to celebrate or not. You know, the euphoria 1 minute and then it's absolute in the doldrums the next. So it's going to take a bit of fine-tuning. One thing that would be really good is if, you know, the crowd could hear what's going on, like you do in the other major sports. You can hear the conversations between the referee and the guys in the studio. So, you know, hopefully that will come into it. But, yeah, it's really dividing opinion. Now, I was at the Arsenal game yesterday and, you know, there was I think it was Socrates handballed it in the area. Absolutely blatant, but because the ref didn't give it, they didn't overturn it. Now, there was a real time where the VAR guys could have come in and said, listen, ref, you've made a... we want you to go and have a look and review this and go to the monitor on the side of the pitch and change it. So, you know, that was a blatant penalty, not given, thankfully, from you know, from all the Arsenal fans in the ground. But, you know, there's some real decisions that need to be made and some real fine-tuning coming up. You know, the quicker the better.
Yeah, I don't mean to bring Tottenham into this discussion because they were disgraceful. Well, not disgraceful, they lost. But
well, let's talk about it.
But no, but it's the VAR situation that they went ahead 2-0 against Leicester in the second half, and then the goal was sort of, well, it was almost brought back, as in, now we're going to take that off you, and then they end up losing 2-1. So they are having, this VAR is having a significant impact on games. And I'm just wondering, Russ, that if you polled 1,000 fans, would they be pro or against having the technology in the competition?
Well, I would say it's right down the middle. I really think it is. You know, it's right down the middle with people in the game as well. It's, you know, the fans, everybody across the board, and you know, people in the media, everybody's really undecided about when it's. One thing is going to happen. It's going to stay here. I think it's going to move forward. And it's going to stay here. So I think we've got to get on with it. We've got to move with it. And you know, you go to the Tottenham one. I think, was it Son who was just offside?
Yeah.
Literally, that again was, you know, and Tottenham have been the beneficiaries of that, haven't they? You know,
yes,
you look back to early this season and last season. So people say, well, evens it out itself out. Does it? I don't know. You know, it's. I think it's clear and obvious offside. I think like they do in the MLS. Then give it. If it's not clear and obvious, then let the game go on and let the play finish. And one of the rulings for the offside is if you've unsettled the defence and they've not reset, if they then you can it's offside, if you see what I mean. So, but in terms of the Chelsea one, there was five or six moves and passes before the actual goal went in after the guy was offside. So, and the defence was hadn't reset; it was still in the same position. So, you know, let the game go. There was no one out of position. No one affected really the defence that much. And it's, I don't know. I think it's literally down the middle. I'm down the middle with it. You know, I think sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. But it's got to be clear and obvious. And at the minute, like Half said, it's just the minute little things that are getting pulled up rather than the big ones.
Yeah.
You mentioned Arsenal there, Russ. Your boys had a good day yesterday, 3-2 over Villa at home. But they were down to 10, 41 minutes in, and scored all their goals shorthanded.
Yeah, it was for a long part of it. We were, you know, I think Arsenal fans were on the cusp of going, you know, not just leaving the stadium, but absolutely having a pop at Unai Emery after what happened last week against Watford, being 2-0 up, and it was literally that close. It was like you said, 1-0 at half time. And if Arsenal didn't come out and have a go second half within the first 10 minutes, then the fans would have gone, and you know, they'd have been calling for people's heads. It was the thumbs down one, you know, it was all them sort of things going on. But 21 attempts at goal, they were magnificent, Arsenal. You know, maybe some fans are saying, let's go down to 10 men every week if this is what it's going to do. but they were fabulous. And Villa got back in and did go 2-1 up again, but Arsenal came back. And, you know, Aubameyang's running the show at the Emirates at the minute. He's on fire, 16-16 he's got. If it wasn't for him, you know, and Lacazette, who's out injured at the minute, I think Arsenal would be, you know, down in mid-table, really, because they do rely on him so much. But it was good to see. It was good to see a change in attitude at half-time. And they did go for it. They did cause a lot of problems to Villa. And Villa themselves will be kicking themselves, because that's 2 weeks in a row now. You know, they've played against 10 men and only took 1 point from six. So, you know, they're languishing third to bottom. But for Arsenal, it was a good result. At one point, Arsenal was sitting in 10th, and then the next minute, they're fourth because they've won. So it was pleasing all round, especially with two or three other teams losing up there.
Speaking of going for it, Manchester City, there's an old saying in sport over here that when you've got an opponent on the ground, you fill your boots. You've got them covered, you go and fill your boots. They filled their boots all right, Russ. 8 past Watford.
Yeah, I mean, when we say that in Dresden, we say it a bit more colourfully than that, yeah. I don't know if you've seen the game or the listeners have seen the game, but this is football at its ultimate. It was unbelievable. It could have been 15, no word of a lie. They were just unbelievable. And when you just think you've seen City at their best, they go on to another level. I think they were probably smarting from their defeat the week before. So Kevin De Bruyne in particular, he's got to be the best player in the world at the minute. He's doing everything that you can possibly do on a pitch. You know, he's getting assists, he's getting goals. He's tackling, he's working hard, he's winning the ball back, he's spraying 50-yard passes, he's playing little balls in between defenders, he's doing absolutely everything. And you know, when you think they had 28 attempts at goal, 5 goals in 18 minutes, I think Watford, you know, it's one of those games, and you're a visiting team like Watford, and many teams have gone to the Etihad Stadium and thought, oh no, this could be anything today, and literally for Watford it was 5, and you just think, oh, hurry up and get this game over with. And it could have been, like I said, 15. Aguero missed 6, you know, 6 golden chances. He got 1, I think, but he missed 6. So, you know, I think Man City, Pep's gone into him in the week, hasn't he, and said, right, let's go for it, lads. Just put another marker down. You know, we can't afford to drop any more points. They're 5 off of Liverpool at the minute. But, you know, as football goes, 24 goals from 6 games is quite incredible, isn't it?
So, brilliant.
You know, it's brilliant, yeah. It's fabulous to see, and it's going to be a good fight between Man City and Liverpool, I think.
Is there going to be a fight between Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and the Manchester United fans?
Nicely linked. I think Ollie will be given a little bit of time. You know, they are poor, really, Man United. When you look at they played West Ham, didn't they? Lost 2-0.
Yeah.
And really, you looked at the two teams and you thought, well, West Ham were 2-1 to win this. And I know a couple of guys, obviously I can't bet, but I know a couple of guys who are not in the game, I'm getting on this, because West Ham looked better than Man United on paper. And as it proved, you know, United haven't won away in 9 league games. So it just shows you they're lacking a few leaders in the team. And, you know, they've got a lot of young players that have come in. He spent quite well in the summer, but there's too many in there that are just not good enough. And, you know, West Ham were full value for their 2-0. Man United have spent nearly £900 million since Sir Alex Ferguson left. And, you know, they were left with no centre forward on the pitch at the end of the game. So you've got to be looking at them and saying, what's going on in the recruitment department? Who's making the decisions? And it's going to be three or four transfer windows, I think, before Man United can get back to anywhere near, you know, a top four team, really.
Well, it's been a dramatic weekend in the English Premier League, but the big news, of course, is Chelt making it four on end and an away victory at Plymouth. Your boys up to third on the table, Russ.
Going well, mate. Yeah, four wins in a row, like you say. As with Man City, we're the top scorers in the league and got the best goal difference. So, you know, we'll settle for that. So, like, I think I spoke to you last week, didn't I? We had two tough games against teams that had come down. We won 3-2 and 2-0. So, and full value for it, really, as well, which is pleasing. So we're not going to get too high, mate. I'm going to go toe the party line. We're not going to get too high. Well, so it's looking good.
It's 2v3 this week. The boys at Crewe are up for a big one, having to travel to Chelt and take you on. I'm backing you in, Russ. We appreciate your time, mate. Go get them.
Thanks, boys. Cheers.